Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be back with you once again. I've entitled our message this morning, Pin Your Ears Back. It's an old saying, and we will see shortly just exactly what that means. Would you open your Bibles with me to Psalm 29? Psalm 29 is one of those psalms that if you were to read, you read the superscription above the psalm, and all we know about it is that it's a psalm of David. We know virtually nothing else about it except what it says in the psalm. But perhaps we will see that Psalm 29 is an answer to the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 25, where he says, I call to you, O Lord. Or perhaps it answers the plea of the psalmist in Psalm 26, where he says, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. Or perhaps Psalm 27, where the psalmist writes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Or maybe it's Psalm 28. Where the psalmist writes, to you, O Lord, I call, do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, then I will be like those who go down to the pit. And then we come to Psalm 29. I would ask the congregation to stand for the hearing of the Word of God. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. He makes the voice of the Lord strips the forest bare and makes a deer to calve. And in his temple, everything says, glory. The Lord sat as king at the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. People of God, this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The psalmist in Psalm 29, I would submit to you, has simply given us an outline, if you will, for a sermon. The beginning couple verses are the call to worship. And then we're going to see the sermon, and then at the end, the benediction. So let's walk through this psalm and see what does it have to say for us today. He begins with a call to worship, ascribe to the Lord. And a couple things here. One, he begins, ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. The psalmist here calls even the heavenly host to worship, to lift up their hearts, to focus their minds, to give all that they have to the one who alone is worthy, as Revelation would say, to receive honor and power and glory and blessing and wealth and wisdom and might forever and ever. Ascribe to the Lord. He also, four times in these first few verses, uses the proper name of God, Lord. And you will see in your Bibles, you will notice that most of your Bibles will have the proper name of God is in all caps. Capital L, capital O-R-D means it's capital, it's telling you, it's signaling to you, this is Yahweh. This is the one who is a covenant-keeping, loyal God. This is the one who keeps steadfast faithfulness, even when we are unfaithful. This is the one, the psalmist says, give him glory. This is the one. And this points us to Jesus. Because Jesus said in John 58, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones, it says, to throw at him. And he asked him, for why are you stoning me? Well, because you make yourself out to be equal with God. Because this is the covenant name of God that God gave to Moses. In Exodus 3, when Moses is in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, and he sees this bush that is not consumed, and Moses asks the Lord, whom shall I say is sending me to Egypt? And God says, tell them I am, that I am, is sending you to Egypt. It is to this one, to the proper name, Yahweh, that the psalmist calls us to worship, to lift up our hearts and our minds, to give him worship. And in doing so, there's a recognition that he alone receives and is worthy of all of our lives, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. All that we have, we give to him. So he calls us to worship. He calls the sons of the mighty, the heavenly host, to worship. All of creation, if you will, stands before the orchestra of God, prepared to worship. And then the psalmist turns his attention, I would submit to you, to the sermon, the voice of the Lord. And he wants us to hear this sevenfold voice. Seven times he's going to tell us the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. He wants us to hear it. He wants us, if you will, to pin your ears back. We just moved from Colorado a year ago, and I have my favorite sister lives out there. She's my only sister, just to be clear. When she's a horse lady, and woe to you men who have wives who are horse ladies, because you never know who's first, the horse or you. But when we first moved there, she had a horse called Scooby. And Scooby, we called him Scooby-Doo. Scooby had a one-word vocabulary, and his one-word vocabulary was, whatever. Whatever you wanted me to do, I will do it. And you could pet him, you could walk up to him, you could get on him, you could ride him, you could do whatever. He was a great horse. But there were two times in Scooby's life, two things that could happen that would cause Scooby to pin his ears back, and you would see it. One was when he got into a rodeo. Scooby loved to race barrels. He was a barrel racing horse. And my sister Eunice would get on that horse, and she'd be sitting there waiting, and Scooby's ears are pinned back because he's concentrating. He knows what's coming, and he's just gnawing at the bit. His ears are pinned back, and she'd say, go! And he'd run that triangle set of barrels and book it back home. Scooby loved to run barrels. But there was another time when Scooby's ears would get pinned back. And that was, you could be outside with Scooby, you could be in the round pen with Scooby, in an arena with Scooby, and if you brought a flag, or a plastic garbage bag blew by, all of a sudden his ears were pinned back because he was freaking out. He was like, ah! And she could never get him over that. She worked with him, could not get him over that, but he was pinning his ears back in fear. And I want to use that picture for you and ask you, do we pin our ears back in concentration when we hear the voice of the Lord? Or in reverent awe and fear when we hear the voice of the Lord? The psalmist is going to walk through this text, and he begins, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is over many waters." And in biblical parlance, the waters represent the abyss. The waters represent a place of chaos. We see that back in Genesis 1. And you'll see that even in the Gospels when the disciples are out fishing. They're crossing the lake and a storm comes up. And they are scared, spitless. Because in the Sea of Galilee, according to their worldview, is the abyss, is underneath the waters, there's chaos. They are riding, if you will, above the chaos, but only for a moment. And they are terrified. And they wake Jesus up. "Master, don't you care? We're about to drown." And Jesus wakes up. Okay, what's the problem? "There's a storm." "Hush, be still." And the waves quiet down. And now, before they were afraid of the storm, but now it says in Mark, they were terrified. Because they had heard the voice of God calm the storm. Do you pin your ears back when God speaks and calms the storms in our lives, in your life? And then the psalmist goes on, and it's as though he breaks into doxology. "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord," and then he switches the metaphor to the hard things in life, "breaks the cedars." Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, the trees, the forest of Lebanon, and he makes Sarai and even the heavenly host skip like a wild ox. When God speaks, things change. When God speaks, the hard things in life can be broken in pieces. Have you heard him speaking? Oftentimes we need to hear that awesome, powerful, majestic voice as it breaks into our own hardness of heart. But he goes on and he says, "The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire," and that is a picture of judgment. When God speaks in judgment, things change. The sin is melted away. It is dealt with. Remember Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, Elijah, we're going to find out later in chapter 19, he thought he was all alone. "Oh Lord, I'm the only one left." But in 18, he challenges the prophets of Baal to a contest. "Tell you what, you guys do a sacrifice, and you call on the name of your God, and whichever God brings down fire and consumes the sacrifice, that one is the Lord. And so you guys go first, and after all, there's lots of you, so you go first." And if you know the story, they put a sacrifice on the altar, and then they rant and they rave and they cut themselves, and Elijah sitting on a stone nearby, Maybe he went to the bathroom. Maybe he's on vacation. Where is your God? And finally it says it's time for the evening sacrifice. And so Elijah gets up and does his thing. He puts a sacrifice on there. And he says, put some water on it. Let's make this a real contest. So they put four pots of water on it. Okay, put four more on it. Okay, put four more on it. In other words, there's water for every tribe of the nation. And then Elijah, if you will, I think he stepped back because he knew what was coming. The flame of fire was coming in judgment. And it consumed the sacrifice. And Elijah says, if the Lord is God, serve him. The people had just seen a demonstration of what happens when God speaks. Judgment came. And Revelation tells us that there is a day coming when God will once again speak in final judgment, and the earth will be consumed with a great fire. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. He goes on. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord strips the forest bare and makes a deer to calve. This is a life-giving voice also. When God speaks, life springs forth every day and always. And we're going to see that this is, if you will, an echo of Genesis, where it says in Genesis, then God said, and it was so. Then God said, and it was so. Again and again and again. Have you heard his voice? I know Moses heard his voice. If you read Exodus, Moses went to see that flaming bush, and God called to him and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses heard the voice of the Lord. Take off your sandals, because this high, Moses, in the presence of God, is too high. You are standing on holy ground. Samuel heard that voice when he was in the temple serving with Eli, the aged priest. Samuel. In the middle of the night, Samuel. Here I am, Lord. David heard his voice after his little affair with Bathsheba. And the prophet Nathan comes to him and tells him a story about a rich man and a poor man. And David is livid. He is angry. And Nathan says, David, you are that man. And David heard the voice of God because he says, oh, woe is me, I have sinned. He was broken on that moment. But have you heard his voice? The disciples heard that voice, Peter, when Jesus said, you, come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. The disciples heard that voice on the sea when he said, hush, be still. The demons heard that voice. In Mark 1, the demon said, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of Israel. And Jesus said, get out. And the demonic obeyed. But there was one, I think, that heard that voice in a way very few at that time had heard. And that was Mary. In John 20, she comes to the tomb, broken, confused, in grief, tears running down her face, her whole life apparently shattered because the one that she thought was the Christ was dead. And she comes to the tomb and finds an empty tomb. And in grief, she turns around, bumps into somebody, supposing him to be the gardener. She didn't even look up. She says, "If you have taken away my Lord," I think Jesus had a smile on his face. And he said, "Mary. Mary." And Mary heard that awesome, majestic, cedar-breaking, flame-hewing, deer-calving, forest-stripping voice say her name. And upon hearing God, the risen Christ, say her name, her life was forever changed, as yours and mine have been upon hearing his voice call our name. Have you heard his voice? The psalmist ends this section, and in his temple, everything says glory. It's as though he's enraptured with what he has just described. And then he turns a slight corner, and in a way he comes back to the beginning, because he's going to remind his readers that the Lord, four times again, he's going to invoke the covenant name of God. The Lord sat in the past as king at the flood. God was sovereign over the chaos of the flood. He reminding us that in the past, God has been sovereign over all things. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to the next phrase and he says, and yes, the Lord sits, that is, right now, as king forever. Maybe today you feel like your life is in chaos. I know our culture is in chaos. We are, it seems, at the end of a new moral revolution into darkness. But know this, that the Lord still sits as the sovereign king of the universe, even now. But he ends with a benediction. And he ends again by saying, the Lord will give strength to his people. Reminds us, maybe Isaiah picked up on this in his ministry to the people, to the rebellious people, when he's reminding them in Isaiah 40 of the sovereignty of our God over all. The Lord measures the heavens from there to there. And we can't even see the end with our most powerful telescopes. But God, right from there, there's the universe. He measured the mountains in a scale, the hills. But he gets to the end of Isaiah 40 and he says, yet, remember, those who wait for the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. The Lord will give strength to his people. That is a promise of God to you and I. When you're feeling you can't take one more step, look up. And he ends the psalm with a condensed version, if you will, of the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord will bless his people with shalom. You see, the heart of God is to bring us out of chaos into shalom, into peace. He started his sermon, the Lord is over many waters, the Lord is over the chaos. He ends, the Lord will bless his people with peace. And this again points us forward to Christ, who said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden is easy, my yoke is light, and I am gentle and humble in spirit and soul." Have you pinned your ears back? Do you concentrate on what God is saying through His Word to you and me? Do you at times stand in reverent awe, like Elijah, if you will, just almost backing up because you know you're on holy ground? Pin your ears back, people. Would you pray with me? Father God, we bless you for mercy. We bless you for your grace. Father, I thank you for the gift of your voice as you speak into our hearts and lives and minds. As you speak through your word today, again and again, you desire to make that a living word, to change us, to transform us, so that we would be made more and more into your image, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, that you would break through the darkness, our own hardness, our own rebellion, that we would hear the soft, gentle voice of God as you speak by your Spirit. Give us ears to hear, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.